It's Friday, March 22nd, 2024, and I'm Dave Sobel. Three things to know today. NIST's National Vulnerability Database facing delays, compromising security efforts. Microsoft halts cloud services in Russia, citing European sanctions and urging data backup. And enforcing software agreements through resellers, pivotal court decision with industry-wide implications. This is the Business of Tech. Today's episode is supported by CoreView. Your customers need your Microsoft 365 expertise, and CoreView has the only M365 management platform designed for MSPs. Manage hundreds of tenants, automate manual tasks, and monitor compliance, all while intelligently comparing to the baseline. With a no-code control approach, CoreView revolutionizes your Microsoft 365 administration. This powerful platform enables automatic reporting and remediation, ensuring optimal performance and security. The best part? You achieve this high level of service without the need for a large workforce, allowing you to focus on growing your business through efficiency. Want to know more? Visit coreview.com/MSP and find out more. I spotted this in dark reading and I wanted to highlight it. The National Vulnerability Database, operated by NIST, has experienced a significant slowdown, leaving many vulnerabilities without essential metadata. This has raised concerns among security experts and enterprise security managers who rely on the NVD for threat information. MITRE, the contractor responsible for CVE collection, has also faced criticism for not addressing the issue. The NVD freeze poses challenges for patching vulnerabilities and may give bad actors more time to exploit enterprise networks. So I'll pair that with coverage about CISA's budget requests. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency is planning to increase staff and implement technology upgrades to support the new cyber incident reporting rules. The agency is requesting a budget of $116 million in fiscal 2025 for the Cyber Incident Reporting for Critical Infrastructure Act program, or CIRCSIA, which includes hiring 122 full-time employees. CISA also aims to roll out significant technology enhancements such as an unclassified ticketing system and an incident reporting web app. CIRCSIA aims to provide earlier insights into cyber attacks on critical infrastructure entities and coordinate responses. The regulations require critical infrastructure operators to report cyber incidents to CISA within 72 hours. While I'm covering these moves, the General Services Administration, or GSA, has issued a new acquisition letter to make buying cloud services more accessible for agencies. The letter allows contracting officers to use upfront payments for software as a service without violating federal procurement law. The GSA's changes aim to enhance competition and drive better pricing, mainly benefiting small businesses. However, an amendment to the Anti-Deficiency Act is still needed to allow industry billing in arrears for cloud services on a consumption basis. Why do we care? There's a lot about funding here. If you value their capabilities, NIST and CISA need to be funded. Both of these services are bedrock services for delivering cybersecurity. And that's why you care. I have a collection of stories and didn't want to miss. Microsoft will suspend access to its cloud services for Russian users due to European sanctions imposed on Russia after the invasion of Ukraine. Softline, a major distributor of Microsoft products in Russia, confirmed the suspension and recommended backing up data associated with foreign cloud services. This move follows other tech companies exiting the Russian market or suspending services due to sanctions. Local users are urged to consider domestic alternatives like Yandex 360, SaaS VK, and Softline Universe. This story you couldn't miss. The U.S. Department of Justice, along with 16 state and district attorneys general, has filed an antitrust lawsuit against Apple, accusing the company of operating an illegal monopoly in the smartphone market. The lawsuit alleges Apple imposes contractual restrictions on developers and withholds critical access to prevent competition. The government points to various ways that Apple has allegedly maintained its monopoly, including disrupting super apps, blocking cloud streaming apps, suppressing messaging quality, limiting the functionality of third-party smartwatches, and blocking competing digital wallets. Apple plans to dismiss the case and disagrees with the defined market. The DOJ seeks to stop Apple from undermining cross-platform technologies and obtain relief to restore competition. Also in stories that made noise this week, OpenAI is expected to release GPT-5, a significant improvement over GPT-4 as early as this summer. GPT-5 is described as materially better and will offer impressive improvements, including the ability to interact with other AI programs. OpenAI is training the model and conducting red team testing for its public release. Why do we care? I didn't want to miss the tech consequences of geopolitics, as well as note the impact on the Russian market. No, I don't have a lot of listeners there, but it's not zero either. Broadly, however, my interest is in the downstream effects and impacts. That's why I noted it. The Apple case is newsworthy, but not yet relevant to IT services. That's going to take ages to become relevant. But I also didn't want to ignore it either, so now you're informed. One reason I added the Friday Big Ideas section was to include counterpoints to my own. We have some really good ones today. The Harvard Business Review tackles loneliness, remote teams. Remote work can lead to feelings of isolation and loneliness impacting job performance. The article provides 4 evidence-based strategies for leaders and managers to build community in remote teams, including reflecting upon team dynamics, recognizing team members, supporting career development, and communicating as whole individuals. The piece highlights how addressing loneliness and building community in remote environments requires innovation and intention. Also from HBR, is your AI-first strategy causing more problems than it's solving? An AI-first strategy can cause problems if it prioritizes AI over the true purpose of technology, which is to serve and enhance human endeavors. Oguz A. Akar recommends a problem-centric, people-first, and principle-driven approach to AI transformation. Over at MIT, return-to-office mandates can lead to a loss of best performers. While CEOs argue that productivity is a reason for these mandates, there's evidence that they damage employee engagement and increase attrition, especially among high-performing employees with caregiving responsibilities. Focusing on outcomes, trust, and flexibility in where and when work is done allows individuals and organizations to thrive. Mandates and monitoring decrease employee satisfaction and trust, while companies that build trust, focus on outcomes, outperform their peers financially. This one I didn't want to miss. Federal News Network covers the issue of who can enforce end-user license agreements when software is sold through a reseller, which was recently discussed in Federal Circuit Court. The case involved a software company, Avue Technologies, software of sale to the FDA through a reseller, CareSoft. Avue claimed that the FDA breached their intellectual property rights by violating the end-user agreement. The Civilian Board of Contract Appeals upheld the FDA's position that the contract was directly with CareSoft, not Avue. However, the Federal Circuit reversed the decision, stating that Avue had the right to allege the existence of a contract and pursue the case. The outcome of this case could have implications for software companies selling through resellers and their ability to enforce end-user license agreement. And I'll end with one that was just a great read. Guardian profiles Orangeburg County in South Carolina, challenging commercial broadband providers that have neglected rural areas in the U.S. The absence of service from major companies has prompted counties and small towns to consider building their own broadband networks. Orangeburg County has been at the forefront of the fight for rural broadband access, aided by federal grants and exemptions from state regulations. The provision in the Infrastructure Act allows local leaders to propose municipal broadband projects and receive funding, overriding state laws that restrict competition. However, large telecom corporations have successfully lobbied to block municipalities from competing. This article is that story. Why do we care? I'm going to focus on that reseller story. We're all interested in this one because of the implications and responsibility of being a reseller. Imagine for a moment that software companies could not enforce end-user license agreements sold through resellers. Now you know why we care. No outcome yet. We're distinctly interested. Looking to reach an audience of thousands of MSPs and IT service providers? Put your ad right here on the Business of Tech and be on the show that 64% of MSPs report having listened to. A recurring top 50 tech news podcast, there are affordable options for you to reach our audience, and we can support any budget. Podcast listeners are more engaged, have a higher level of brand retention, and are more willing to listen to ads here than any other avenues. Want to know more? There's information at mspradio.com/engage, including a button to book a time to talk. I'm looking forward to that discussion. Thanks for listening. It's National Goof-Off Day. Yeah, that one seems good. Right on a weekend. Have a question you want answered? We take listener questions. Send them, ideally as a voice memo or video, to question@mspradio.com. I answer those listener questions live each week on our Wednesday live show, next week, 3 p.m. on YouTube and LinkedIn. This weekend, there'll be a bonus episode, an interview with Fred Carey discussing cash flow and why putting that over profits. I'll be back again on Monday. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines, posted at businessof.tech. If you like the content, please make sure to hit that like button, follow, or subscribe. It's free and easy and the best way to support the show and help us grow. You can also check out our Patreon, where you can join the Business of Tech community at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. Finally, if you're interested in advertising on the show, visit mspradio.com/engage. Once again, thanks for listening to me, and I will talk to you again on our next episode of the Business of Tech.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.